What's up, Milwaukee and Wisconsin? This is Maggie Dawn, and you are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show. Promised y'all yesterday that we were going to talk about the shared revenue and sales tax bill, and indeed, we are going to waste no time today and get right into it. Questions I'd like to hear from all of you about are, do we need to tell Democrats in the state legislature, and do we need to tell the governor to go get this bill done? How important is this for the state, for every local government, and for the city and county of Milwaukee? What are our alternatives here? Are we going to pass up the opportunity to generate this additional revenue? And if we do, what are the impacts on our state's most vulnerable people? What are the impacts on the Black and Brown community here in Milwaukee, Wisconsin? I want to hear what you think about whether or not we need to tell Democrats to get this deal done. We're going to talk about what's in this bill, including some of the stuff that Dems don't like. But I want to know, do we need to get the deal done? Do we need to accept that we've got a political reality where deals have to be made with a Republican-controlled, gerrymandered, undemocratic state legislature? And we can talk about that all we want and how angry we are about that, how unfair it is that close to 70% of the people in this state tend to vote Democratic. And yet we have 40% representation in the state legislature. We can talk about that. But today we need to focus on not that reality, but what are we going to do about it to help fund local government in this state? What are the consequences for the poorest and most at-risk people in our state and in southeastern Wisconsin if this deal doesn't get done? Do we need to rise up and tell every Democratic lawmaker in both local government and state government that we need to get this deal done? I want to hear from you. 844-967-2789. I want to hear what your heartburn about this bill is, if you've got any. I want to hear what you think works in this bill, if you think portions of this work. I want to know if you think there needs to be a referendum that goes to taxpayers. And if you do, what risk do we run that taxpayers decline to put sales tax in place in the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County? 844-967-2789. My name is Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show, and we are going to get into it. Let's start with the realities. The realities are that local government has been grossly underfunded for a long time in Wisconsin. Longer than most of us have even been thinking about how local government gets funded. This primarily is due to how shared revenue operates in the state of Wisconsin. Shared revenue is effectively unrestricted payments that go from the state government to local governments that can be used for any purpose. And at the same time that the state decides each year how much local governments will get in shared revenue, local governments make decisions about property taxes, except in the state of Wisconsin, local governments are restricted almost singularly the most in the United States as to whether and how they adjust upwardly property taxes. For simplicity purposes, we can only increase property taxes on a local governmental basis by the amount of net new construction. Here's what's happened over the last few decades when we talk about shared revenue. So basically, local governments funded through property tax and shared revenue. In the last few decades, the annual appropriation of shared revenue, which is decided now by a gerrymandered state legislature, it's remained stagnant for decades. It hasn't kept up with inflation, let alone the inflation that we've seen recently. Even though our costs to continue to provide basic services in local government have gone up and gone up dramatically, shared revenue has remained stagnant. According to the Wisconsin Policy Forum's executive director, Rob Henkin, he had this to say: what we've seen is this change in the shared revenue program, where the appropriation has not grown in two decades, coupled with stringent state-imposed restrictions of local government's tax revenue when the value of existing properties rises. He's explaining what I just did to you. And so what we've ended up with in local government are structural deficits that now, due to inflation and rising pension costs, are outstripping local governments' ability to close the structural deficit gap on a year-over-year basis, which means both the county and the city of Milwaukee are facing absolutely draconian service level reductions. Now, Evan, if you got callers, let me know who's on the line. Pop it up in text or whatever, because I want to stay with some of the substance here. But I do want to hear from you. Do we need to ask Democrats to tell them to go get this deal done, to tell the governor's office, we got to get the deal done? And yes, there's going to be pain points in any sort of deal, because that's what negotiating is. But here's what we're dealing with. I got to tell you about some of these cuts and what we're facing here. If we do not find ourselves a way to additional revenue in Milwaukee County, here's what we're looking at. We currently have about, here's what's been done in the past. We've reduced, so I want to first talk about what Milwaukee County has done to reduce our expenses. We went from about 7,300 full-time employees in the year 2000 to fewer than 4,000. We've reduced the county's square footage, in other words, building space that we own, by nearly 3 million square feet. We've eliminated bus routes. That's not a good thing. That hurts poor folks. And we've pursued new ways to find revenue in the parks department, different fees for enjoying different services like golf, facility rentals, beer gardens. And we have deferred almost any maintenance that we can on buildings and other infrastructure. And in the county, we have substantially reformed our pension system. Now, the city still has some of those tools at its disposal. The county does not. So in the near term for the county, here are some of the impacts if we cannot come up with more revenue sources. By 2025, we will have a $26 million budget deficit in our transit program alone. By 2028, it will be $40 million. We estimate that we will have to cut bus lines by nearly 20%. That hurts working class Milwaukeeans. That hurts the working poor. Here's a value I believe in: supporting the infrastructure that help working class families stay afloat. Not just, we're not even talking about prospering here. We're talking about staying afloat. We likely would not be able to do anything to improve our jail facility in Milwaukee County. We've been losing lives in that facility, something that should never happen. That will come completely off the table. No improvements there. There will be substantially less property tax funding to zero property tax funding available for parks. Parks are not a mandated service. You want to start seeing closing of parks, the selling off of county land, the land that we all own collectively for a collective benefit, that goes. We may be looking at staff reductions at the county by at least a third. That's 1,300 people. So I want to know, do we need to be demanding that Democratic lawmakers in local and state government get this deal done? Tom, my friend from LA, what say you, sir?
First off, we the people ultimately are the government, so we must never forget that. Second is that when it comes to the state of Wisconsin, because I've got back from visiting back home, somehow we got to figure out a way where people think that Milwaukee is part of Wisconsin. I mean, they almost act like it's, part of Chicago and not part of the, tapestry of towns of the rest of the state of.
I think I lost you there for a bit, Tom. Let us
know. Yep, you're going to have to call us back, Tom. Yes.
Call us back, Tom. Thanks, E. Listen, Tom's point is right on. It's as if there's sort of two states of Wisconsin. But here's the reality. Milwaukee County, the city and county of, are the economic engine of this state, in addition to every business owner out there. So I don't want to discount the business owners who drive the state, but in terms of geographic heartbeats of the economy of Wisconsin, it is the state of Wisconsin. We're home to Frederick, Aurora, the Medical College of Wisconsin, GE Medical Systems, Ascension, Northwestern Mutual Life, Fiserv, Rockwell. I mean, I can go on and on. Marquette University, UWM, Alverno, Milwaukee School of Engineering, Mount Mary, Milwaukee Lutheran College. We're the major airport in the state of Wisconsin. We run the Port of Milwaukee, and we have the highest level of highway service in the state, which the county has to patrol with its sheriff's deputies. Tom, you're back. What did you want to say? Finish your thought, friend.
Yeah, Maggie, what I wanted to say was that Milwaukee is actually what we would consider, and Wisconsin is actually what we would consider a donor state. You actually pay more in taxes than you get back. You know, it's not like somewhere like Mississippi or one of those places. And I just really, like I said, being in the northwestern part of Wisconsin, maybe because there's just, you know, not much population there, there's just something about it that people don't consider the other parts of the state. Like, it's like you said, two different worlds. And I also would just ask Maggie, if you could explain to your callers, every day or whatever, the difference between private versus public, because private is for profit. You start selling off public, we the people land and parks, and that it is now privatized, and people don't have much of a choice or much of a say in terms of what happens after that point.
Amen, my brother. We got to go to a break shortly. Tom's absolutely right. When we sell off public property, it is not there in perpetuity and trust for all members of the public, no matter what your income and wealth level. Hang on here. I am Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show. Call in and tell me what you think about the sales tax and shared revenue bill, 844-967-2789. You're listening to Civic Media. Keep it locked in. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on Civic Media. You can join the conversation at 844-967-2789. If you are on the line, please continue to hold. What I want to hear from every corner of the state is, do we need to get this shared revenue bill and sales tax bill done for the good of the state, as well as to serve our most vulnerable residents, not just across the state, but in the city and county of Milwaukee? Here's a fact. Over the last 40 years, just under 95% of Wisconsin counties have instituted a local sales tax. I'm going to repeat that. Over the last 40 years, just under 95% of Wisconsin counties have instituted a local sales tax. Guess which county hasn't? Milwaukee County. Want you to think about that. I want you to think about all the businesses that I just named. I want you to think about all the folks that travel in from Waukesha, Ozaukee, Washington counties, Racine, and Kenosha into Milwaukee County every day to earn a living, buy lunch, maybe a couple drinks after dinner, and then drive back out of Milwaukee County to one of our collar counties where they pay property taxes. I want you to think about all of the things that bring people to Milwaukee County, like the RNC coming next year, like the Brewers, the Bucks, the Admirals, who've been in a playoff. All of the events at Fiserv are nationally and internationally recognized. Milwaukee Symphony that has a new theater, our art museum, internationally recognized. I could go on and on. about all of the cultural and entertainment venues and attractions that we have here in Milwaukee County, and yet no sales tax. Why is that? We have to dispense with this us versus them mentality. We're in this together, Wisconsin. As goes Milwaukee, so goes Wisconsin. We need to understand that our relationship is, we are indelibly connected with one another. Here's what the city of Milwaukee spends its money on every year, okay? I want us all to, again, do a think on this. Public safety is 47% of the city's budget, $624 million. That's the largest share of their budget. Public works, 17%, around $234 million. The health department, $50 million. Culture and recreational activities, $35 million. But we are spending and spending in public safety, folks, police and fire. It's half. It's not that we're not investing. It's that we don't have the dollars to invest. And here, my friends, is a solution. Is it a perfect one? Heck no, it's not. But it's the solution that we have presented to us. And the consequences of walking away with it for performative politics instead of informative, important, values-based decision-making are dire consequences. And when dire consequences occur in this state and anywhere, it is the most vulnerable and most often brown and black folks that pay the highest prices. If we are unable to close these budget gaps through the institution of a sales tax in the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County, it will be impossible for the city of Milwaukee to close its budget gaps without drastically slashing the police budget, libraries, and other basic quality of life funding areas. We may have to sell off the public waterworks utility. Well, I don't know about you. That makes me a little nervous. Here's what the president of the Common Council said about the sales tax and shared revenue bill. Jose Perez said this, the council, we're all in agreement that we would love to see a clean bill. The opportunity for us to vote on a sales tax, that's great. We don't want any of the policy add-ons, that's clear. But we have to get the sales tax. Here are the elements of the bill that local leaders have been objecting to. First, there's an argument that sales taxes are inherently regressive. Amongst tax policy analysts, I will simply offer this. It is one of the least regressive forms of tax. Okay, do poor folks still have to buy furniture and things like that to have a household function? Yes. But sales taxes do not apply to foodstuffs and basically medical supplies and prescriptions. So it is one of the least regressive forms of tax. Here's another objection. There's a limitation on local decision-making. For example, about the HOP, it changes the makeup of the Fire and Police Commission, which can set policy for the fire and police departments. Those are not great things. They run counter, clearly, to what Republicans have always said they believe in about local control. And yet, even with these policy elements in play in this bill, isn't the need for the funding to keep libraries open, to keep our streets as safe as we possibly can? Don't those things outweigh some of those questions? I want to hear from you. If you are on hold, please stay there. My name is Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show on Civic Media. You can join our debate, 844-967-2789. We're going to close it up next segment and move on to the discussion of my favorite former Supreme Court Justice in the state of Wisconsin, Michael Gableman, suffering yet another loss in court. Stay tuned, everybody. We'll be back in a moment. If I could melt your heart.
when I'm not with you.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show on Civic Media. Remember, you can always stream us live online or by downloading the Civic Media app so that we're always crystal clear. I've got a couple of callers. I just wanted to share these couple of remaining factoids, and then we're going to go to the phones. I want to know if we need to be demanding that the governor and our state elected representatives, that Democrats support this bill despite some of the pain points in it. I want to know if you agree with me that sending this to a referendum, although appealing on face, dooms any chance of getting a sales tax. And thus, because it is our collective responsibility to ensure that the city and county remain able to continue to function, to maintain the quality of life that we enjoy here in Wisconsin, to still be the economic engine of this great state, that we need to allow the Common Council and the chief executive officers of both the city and the Board of Supervisors and the county executive at the county level to implement the sales tax. Here are the final facts I want to share with you. The city of Milwaukee state aids to the city, that's that shared revenue bit. In 1998, it made up for 45% of the city's budget. In 2021, it was half that, 21%. We can't function that way. It's not fair. It simply isn't. Milwaukee is asking for its fair share of state revenue, and we are asking to be permitted what 95% of all other counties have been able to do, and that is implement a sales tax. Robin Voss said this today: if we do not get to a deal this week, meaning reaching agreement with the governor's office, I think we should strip out, he said, I think we should strip out all of the Milwaukee things and just focus on the balance of the bill, which makes sure that every community around the state is not held hostage by Milwaukee's problems. Held hostage? We rise and fall together. And with that, I'm going to turn to Joe in Madison. Joe, what do you have to say?
Well, I think you're saying it, Maggie. Thank you very much for leading on this particular issue. I think that a couple of points that you made need to be reiterated. Number one, and you just referred to it, as goes Milwaukee, so goes Wisconsin. You can't let the major economic engine of the state, you know, rot by the side of the road and hope that the state's going to be okay. It won't be. We are all in this together. And this notion that other people in the part of the state just can look at Madison and Milwaukee and go, ah, who cares? You know, we don't care. Who cares? You have to care because it has to do with money, and it has to do with all of us getting enough money so that we can move forward. You spent a time talking about cultural parts of Milwaukee. Understand, people, that those cultural parts bring in money. They bring in people who want to be around those cultural events. And, you know, here's a little factoid, too. Remind people that when we speak of Milwaukee, we're also speaking of Port of Milwaukee. Huge amount of business. It's on the Great Lakes. A huge amount of business. You know, Sheboygan doesn't cut it compared to Port of Milwaukee. So I think that whatever it takes, that the callousness of Robin Voss's statement that we'll just deal with Milwaukee separately, the biggest economic engine of the state, we'll just deal with separately. Come on.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, Joe. Thanks so much for the call, and thanks for listening. Love to hear from my women callers. Not too many of us out there weighing in on public policy, but here on the Maggie Dawn Show, I want to hear from you, 844-967-2789. With that, I'm going to kick it to Carol, also tuning in from Madison.
Hi, Maggie. Glad you're back on the air. This whole thing is so ridiculous. Milwaukee is already in a financial crunch. Why on earth would they make Milwaukee pay for an additional election? It'd be one thing if the state, you know, if Voss was ready to kick in to pay for the referendum, but he's not. He's going to make you guys even more strapped, which is absolutely ridiculous. And to think that Milwaukee is so much like the wicked stepchild of the state of Wisconsin is so far from the truth that he is off his rocker. You know, and here they are, the Republicans of this state want to show off our state through their wicked stepchild with Milwaukee. Now, how absolutely, how much hypocrisy is that?
I hear ridiculous. You, Carol. I think, again, we got to come back to these values, right? If Republicans want to stand for responsible government, efficient government, accountable to taxpayers, then shouldn't we start with that concept? Meaning responsible government means funding it adequately to provide the most essential services that citizens and residents and visitors should be able to enjoy, right? These things are so fundamental, and there's just no reasonable debate that the shared revenue formula has been at all reasonable for over 20 years. It simply hasn't. Thanks so much for your call, Carol. I want to encourage everybody to pick up the phone. If you don't call me, call the governor's office. Tell him to sign the bill. Tell him to sign the bill. Here's Governor Evers' phone number, 608-266-1212, 608-266-1212. If you're in southeastern Wisconsin and you prefer the old 414, 414-227-4344, that's 414-227-4344. I cannot emphasize to you, I have worked in local government, both for the city and the county, for over a decade now. Now is the moment. Are there pain points in the bill? Yes, there are. But can there be any reasonable debate that these are existential moments for the city and county? There cannot. And anyone tells you that we can survive with sales taxes for only a year or two, or that we can survive without this bill because it's got some parts of it that we don't like, that go against some of our left or democratic values. We cannot, and the people that will pay the price if we pass up this opportunity are not the folks that are well-to-do. They are most at-risk folks, and as we know historically, the people that pay the price for bad public policy tend to be Black and brown. That is what is at stake. Anyone that tells you any difference, they are lying to you. They are lying to you. I also want to encourage everyone to pick up the phone and call State Senator Taylor, 608-266-5810. Tell her you support the bill. One of the provisions that has everyone up in arms in this bill is a limitation that Republicans are trying to put on the city and county that prohibits us from using race as a basis for preferential treatment in hiring or contracting. Here's what. The Supreme Court in July or August is going to take that right away from us anyways. Here's what. The Supreme Court is going to take that ability away from local governments anyways. The two cases are the Students for Fair Admissions versus Harvard and North Carolina. Affirmative action is going to be wiped out by this activist Supreme Court that gives not a whit for stare decisis. There is no way this bill should die because Democrats want to make a point about this particular provision. Do I believe that government has been institutionally racist in its allocation of contracting dollars? Heck yes, I do. Do I believe that that is a wrong that should be redressed? Absolutely. Do I believe that government should be able to consider race in hiring and promotion, along with all of the other factors that are important? Heck yes, I do. But do I think we should pass on this bill because Republicans are inserting language into it that the Supreme Court is going to shove down our throat in a month or two anyways? No, I do not. That is performative politics. That is exploitative and assumes that we cannot understand the bigger picture here. And yet we must. My friend Mark from the SAC, what say you today?
We got to, you know, suck up the bad with some of the bad here with to establish the good. When you disinvest in public transportation, for one example, that hurts the economy. If they expanded the bus system for public transit, no, that would help the economy in Milwaukee County. that in the city of Milwaukee. I mean, that those are just two small points there. And these Republicans are running off, you know, that they want to beat on Milwaukee County. I mean, in Milwaukee County is not the wicked stepchild. It's the Cinderella stepchild that the wicked Republican stepsisters have put in the corner and expect her to do all the work, be the economic engine, and just shut up and take it. And what I get a kick out of it is the Republicans complain about socialism, yet Robin Voss uses the socialism system to profit with his prison labor. I mean, it's disgusting that they are, but we just have to accept, you know, the reality of it is because the current Supreme Court is rolling back decades of progress.
That's right, Mark. Thanks for the call, buddy. Always good to hear your voice. Listen, I don't want to vilify Republicans on this one. I want to call out the fact that they have refused to act to increase shared revenue over nearly two decades. That as a result, local governments across the state, not just the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County, are woefully underfunded. And it would be impossible for us to even have this debate if every single Republican in the state legislature decided not to give a whit about southeastern Wisconsin. We rely on some of the Republicans of good conscience, and those that deal in economic realities. Without them, this bill would not even be an option. So let's not group all of the Republicans together. For example, I want to call out and applaud Senator LeMahieu for leading on this, challenging the notion that we need to have a referendum. Now, years ago, I would have solidly advocated that the taxpayers need to decide if we want to pay a sales tax. I can't do that today. We do not have the sort of time and the luxury to take a year or two to try to educate the public about what it is that they're truly voting for. We are post-COVID, post an inflationary cycle, the likes of which hadn't been seen for 20 years. I put the practical reality of us passing a referendum at not statistically significantly different than zero. If it is a referendum, it fails. Anyone who tells you any different is lying to you. We do not gamble with the lives of the people in the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. What is at stake here is far too important for politicians to be locking in wins simply to aggrandize themselves. Performative politics needs to be shouted down. Call the governor's office, tell him to get the bill done. 608-266-1212, 414-227-4344. Do I like all of the policy provisions and the limits on local control in this bill? Hell no, I don't. But do I love and care about the state and the people of the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County more? Hell yes, I do. Every day and twice on Sunday, Jeannie from Eau Claire, always nice to see you on my caller list.
Thank you so much for the information. I can tell the love in your heart, and I'll be calling first thing tomorrow morning from my side of the state. And this information, keep it coming. Thank you very much, Maggie, and we're lucky to have you, and we're lucky to have you. Thank you. Bye.
Thanks, Jeannie. Everybody lock it in. I'm going to move on to Megan Wolf and Justice Gableman after the break. Want to hear what you have to say about the attacks on a lifetime public servant, Megan Wolf. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show. You can call in at 844-967-2789 here on Civic Media. I'm not with you when I'm not with you.
The First Lady of Song, is that her nickname? Maybe so. Maybe so.
And the living is easy. Fish are jumping. is high.
Welcome back. I'm Maggie Dawn, and this is the Maggie Dawn Show on Civic Media. You can always find us on the app. Download wherever you download your favorite apps, and of course, online. If you've got something that has been twisting around in your head that you think, I'd really like some help dissecting that issue, feel free to email me. My email is Maggie, M-A-G-G-I-E dot Dawn, D-A-U-N at civicmedia.us. Let me know what you want to talk about, and we will chop it up on the air. Maggie.Dawn at civicmedia.us. But I urge you, if you are listening, right or left, urban or rural, blue collar or white collar, pick up the phone tomorrow or this afternoon, call the governor's office, 608-266-1212, 414-227-4344, and tell him that we need to get this bill done. Feel free to give Senator Taylor also a call, especially if you're from here in Milwaukee, 608-266-5810. That's 608-266-5810. Let's pivot. These things are related. You're going to hear me talk a lot about performative politics. I accept that politics is theater. But at some point, that theater has to intersect with reality. We see that playing out in the shared revenue and sales tax bill. There are elected folks basically lying to you, saying that there are things in this bill that we need to just walk away because of. Well, here's another element of performative politics that I have to roundly condemn. And that is what has gone on, the debacle permitted and encouraged by the GOP here in our state that led to one former Supreme Court Justice Michael Gabling blowing over $1 million in taxpayer funds to engage in factually baseless conspiracy theories to, you know, fly to a conference where the guy who runs a pillow company peddled more of these conspiracy theories. That is performative politics, engaging in knowing lies, mistruths, hiding and covering it up, refusing to comply with the state's open records law to forward a narrative because it is politically beneficial to you and your party. Shameful. And on the other hand, what we find today in the Journal Sentinel is that the head of the nonpartisan Wisconsin Elections Commission, who in good faith executed the duties of her job during probably two of the most contentious election cycles our country has ever seen, is now being lambasted shockingly from both sides of the aisle. The Journal Sentinel reports, the future of Wisconsin's top election official is unclear as key members of the state Senate say they plan to vote against reappointing Megan Wolf as administrator of the Wisconsin Elections Commission. Wolf's term as administrator of the state elections agency expires on July 1st. There are some incredibly ridiculous things being said about Director Wolf by folks on both sides of the aisle. I cannot believe it. It began with Senator Corey Tomchick, a Republican from Mosinee, sending a letter to colleagues on May 4th, recommending that senators reject Wolf's reappointment when the appointment reaches the full Senate. Why, might you ask? Well, he explained. Quote, the behavior of the Wisconsin Elections Commission under the leadership of Megan Wolf has failed to instill confidence. I urge this body to begin to take its oversight duties seriously and vote no on the appointment of Megan Wolf as administrator to the Wisconsin Election Commission. Joining Tomchick in opposing Wolf's reappointment where Republican state president, Republican Senate President Chris Kapenga of Delafield, Senator Steve Nass of Whitewater, and Democratic State Senator Lena Taylor of Milwaukee. What? Senator Taylor said she would oppose Wolf because, quote, everyone that failed Milwaukee voters in 2020 needs to go. I'm sorry, what exactly is it that we're talking about? The behavior of the Wisconsin Election Commission under the leadership of Megan Wolf has failed to instill confidence. It's not Megan Wolf. It's not the Wisconsin Elections Commission that has done that. It is Republicans. Megan Wolf didn't fail Milwaukee voters in 2020. Republicans did. There are gray areas in every state's election laws. And here in Wisconsin, the Wisconsin Elections Commission is duly authorized under law to promulgate rules and regulations to try to clarify those gray areas. That's what Megan Wolf did. She did her job. And now performative politics takes over again. Instead of placing blame squarely where it belongs here in reality, at the feet of people like Michael Gableman, a know-nothing Supreme Court justice who became a know-nothing special investigator. That's where the responsibility belongs, and ultimately with the former president. Instead, we want to take to the woodshed a public servant. I ask you, if the partisan politics were reversed, would we be having the same discussion? I respectfully offer no. And that, my friends, is the difference. What are our values? To blame others for the chaos that we have wrought? I say no. Please call the Wisconsin Elections Commission and defend Megan Wolf and her tenure. Every good-hearted public servant depends on your call. I thank you for your time today, everybody. It's been a real pleasure. I know there was some heavy stuff. Tune in tomorrow. We can all talk about the Trump documents investigation and why it's mysteriously moved to a Florida grand jury. Who knows about that? Should be interesting, Evan. I appreciate you all being here. My name's Maggie Dawn. This is The Maggie Dawn Show. And you are listening to Civic Media. Thanks for listening, everybody. One of these moments.